Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. As we come this morning, our special communion morning, where we remember the great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, shedding of his blood, the breaking of his body, and the receiving of our sins upon himself. May everything we do, our prayers, our thoughts, bring honor to you. And may we be humble and realize we've been bought with a price, and that we stand here not in pride, but in thanksgiving and humility that you first loved us. Into thy hands we commit this time. Work, do your work in each one of our hearts. I ask and I thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll open with a little introduction on communion. When it comes time to serve the elements, there will be a special worship music. Today, during our message, our service, there will be special hymns and songs that we've asked the Lord to touch our hearts with. So, in preparation for communion, I want to read Paul's instructions and look. Just share just a short little bit on worthiness. Today's message is on you are worthy. And we have to think about our worthiness and the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So as we prepare for communion, during this message, and as we prepare our hearts for communion, we need to, first of all, examine our worthiness. If we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, this table is open to you. And it's our joy to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. But Paul warns in Corinthians, he's having problems eating and drinking unworthily. Of course, you know, as we approach the table, we need to examine our hearts for any unconfessed sin. For surely if we receive the bread and the wine, remember what Christ did for us, and we have unconfessed sin, we're doing it not in a worthy manner, and we will be judged for that. But this thought of unworthiness carries even further. So often we can get, but we take the Lord's table for granted. Once a month we come and we have communion, and sometimes we might be tempted to well, I'll be glad when this is over with so we can get into the potluck. Or some way or another, we might have not had the right attitude. And that's partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So, I know in the past I've had thoughts that were not worthy, and I've had to confess it. So, it's Paul's desire, the Lord's desire, every time we come to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, that's done in a worthy manner. And so with that, I challenge and pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and mind so that each one of us, when we come, will do it in a worthy manner, that the Lord might be honored, glorified. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, now what greater time during this time to, in your heart, to pray and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then you will become worthy. It's not anything we have done. Christ has done it for all of us. So, 1 John 1:9 is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us all from all unrighteousness. As our brother Light is teaching Ruth, He keeps reminding us of that. And what better time to remind us than before we receive the Lord's Supper? Now I'd like to have you open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. I've really enjoyed this last few weeks going over and over Revelation 5. That's a passage that the Lord put on my heart. And as you remember, the Apostle John is having a vision, and the Lord is giving him a vision of the future days that's coming. So he, in this vision, he's a vision in heaven. And can't imagine what he was thinking. As I read through this, wow, Apostle John, what a privilege. Yeah, he had a very important message to give us in the book of Revelation. We are just going to be dealing with one chapter, chapter 5, and the main topic we're going to talk about is the worthy one. But you need to there's so much more in Revelation. You need to go ahead and study. Okay, in verse 1, John says, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." What's the first thing he sees? He sees on the throne God Himself, God the Father. And zeroed in on the one thing with the scroll in the right hand of the Father. That's the subject. And as you get into the scroll, it's a pretty dire message. The Father's sitting there with the scroll ready for the scroll to be taken out of His hand and to be revealed. And the scroll was sealed with seven seals. In the Greek, it says, it's sealed down. It's sealed tightly. No one's going to open it except the one who authorized can open it. And seven seals, as you read in chapter 6 and 7 and 8, God reveals what each of those seals of judgment mean. We will not be getting into that today. Then John goes on, verses 2 and 3. "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scrolls or to look at it." Now, we're talking about a really strong angel. When we think of strength, you know, we humans are puny. And God's word said this angel was a strong angel. And we could probably get in and study more about angels and understand what that strength is. But he proclaimed loudly in a loud voice, challenging, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals? And verse 3, and no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth is able to open the scroll or even to look into it. Wow. When you think about it, that's a strong voice, a loud voice. For it went from heaven, throughout all heaven, went down to earth, went into Hades. All of creation heard that question. Not one being was able even to open or even look at the scroll. Now, John's reaction. I wonder if we would have the same reaction. Verse 4. So I wept much. Now, I cry pretty often, as you know. But I must have really been weeping. I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. To me, I wonder, why was he weeping? And I couldn't. He's been given a vision by God. It was his purpose to write this vision, this message out, so we could read it today. The one important thing, that scroll, subject of the whole chapter, in the hand of God, no one could take it out of his hands. No one could look at it. No one could read it. And he has such a desire to know that truth, the truth of what was in that scroll. And I ask myself, do I have a desire to know God's word like he does? Am I willing to open God's word? And if it's taken away from me where I couldn't have access, would I weep? I think that's a challenge of my heart, to really get into God's word. And John was really weeping. Now, verse 5 is a verse I really like because it talks about elders. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals. What a comfort that was to John. One of the elders came forward, hey, what are you all upset about? Why are you weeping? Don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Root of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals. And why other translations read, it was victorious, he overcame. I like the King James, New King James, prevailed. To me, it gave a sense of the battle that the Lord Jesus Christ went through. He prevailed. Now, to me, that gives pictures of a struggle that's beyond our understanding. He prevailed. It wasn't just a spiritual battle, and it's full of emotion and pain and grief that we'll probably never understand. But he prevailed. Kind of a picture, a part of that prevailing was in Matthew 26:39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You sense the motion of that, the struggle of that. He was facing evil, taking sin, our sins upon himself. He was in a deep spiritual battle. He says, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Would that be the thought of our hearts as we are his children, that we're willing to go where he sends us, do what he'd have us do, face any challenge he'd have us face. Because the victory's already won, and he can give us grace. In Matthew 27:46, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? We can never understand that. Here is a perfect Savior, the perfect Lamb of God, who did no sin, and he is being sacrificed. He was shedding his blood, he was punished, he was beaten. And during the midst of this, when he received our sin, he is utterly separated from his Father, from the Holy Spirit. My God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, he prevailed. He overcame. He is victorious. We've studied Genesis. God promised that Satan's head would be crushed. At this moment, the crushing happened. He prevailed. And then the verse, back to Revelation, verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And the elders had just said, the Lord has prevailed, the Lord, the Lion of Judah, the ruler of David has prevailed. And then John looked up, and whatever the scene was in heaven, the throne, the four creatures, the 24 elders, right in the midst of them was this lamb. And what's interesting about this verse, it says, as though it had been slain. This lamb was alive. Why do you say as though it had been slain? Because his sacrifice is very evident. His body had been pierced with a spear. His hands had been pierced with nails. His face had been marred and back and scourged. The body of this lamb bore the marks of his sacrifice. All of heaven saw the lamb was alive, but they also understood the sacrifice that he made. The sacrifice he made is evident on his body. The fact that he is alive meant that his sacrifice was accepted by God. Wow. Boy, John, what a view John had. And even it gets even better. We're going to look at Revelations 8-10. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue, people and nation, and that made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. The elders and the four living creatures fell down to worship. One hand, but they had a harp. They were going to make some music. Now, we love our music here, but the music in heaven, I just can't wait to hear it. And on the other hand, they had golden bowls of incense. Now, I'm not sure why that was put in this context. But this incense represents your prayers, my prayers. Some way we got to understand our prayers have effect. God listens to them. The angels are presenting them to the Lord Jesus Christ. God promises to hear them. That challenges our heart. Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to fall down on our knees and pray? Not just the times when we have needs, but the times when we read God's Word, the times when we're overcome with His Word. You've got to remember, these elders, four living creatures, they got golden bowls of incense in our prayers. And further on in Revelation, there's other verses that talk about this incense is the prayer of the ones who suffered, the martyrs. And so I challenge myself and you, be prayer warriors. You need it. The world needs it. Your neighbors, your brethren here, they need your prayers. Let's pray. And they sang a new song. And I just wish I could have heard it. But the contents, you are worthy to take the scroll. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, you are worthy to open its seals. Why? Because you are slain. And you have redeemed us, each one of us, to God by your blood. And he did this out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. The whole earth has been reached, and is being reached with the gospel. God is redeeming people of every nation and tongue to himself. And the 24 elders and the four creatures are singing this and praising this. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, kings is a better translation. You have made us a kingdom and priest to our God. Every man, woman, child who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a priest, and you in the kingdom. And someday we're going to rule here on earth with our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what Paul or John was thinking. Now, I'm thankful for Rich. He's helped me gather some music together. And I asked him at this point to play a song I really love. It's called You Are Worthy, which goes right along with our theme. And now this is a 100-member choir. And they're going to play it with a fairly loud volume. And I want you to think, even though how such a blessing this is, what would it be like in heaven? And the voice of an angel can reach down, and we'll see it in a minute, reach down to all creation. So, we have that to look forward to. So just meditate on the words.
Mighty warrior, great Jehovah, victor, yes, only you are worthy. Awesome helper, my redeemer, healer, yes, only you are worthy. Sovereign master, my creator, God, yes, only you are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. Stripped and beaten, crucified on Calvary, only you.
Hey, that was a little over 4 minutes. A little over 4 minutes by men and women like you. I don't sing. Just think what it's going to be like in heaven. Constantly praising. And we'll be looking at the source of our praise right there. Wow. I often listen to that sometimes before I go to sleep. Little earphones on. And just bring joy to my heart to hear be able to sing. Sometimes in my den, I sing along with them. Not too great, but but it brings me joy. And in heaven, we'll be singing along with them too. Okay, now let's go on to Revelation 5:11. We're going to read on through verse 14. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, here's that loud voice again that's going out there, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. All of heaven, myriads and myriads of angels and saved people and were singing this song. And it went out in a loud voice and tells us every creature, who's in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, who's hearing this song. And as I did some studying this, it's every creature, not just man. So the fish, animals, like somewhat way I don't understand, will be bringing praise to our Lord Jesus Christ also. And some, if you read other verses, all of creation is waiting to be freed from this combination of sin, cursed sin upon this creation. Someday it's going to be free. It's going to be a new earth. And all will be praising our Lord and worshiping Him. So as we prepare a little bit to have communion, continue to prepare your hearts. As our custom, we'll have a time of general testimony. It's open to all. The Lord has blessed your heart, and you like to be praised, sing a hymn or whatever the Lord put in your heart. We just want to remember to praise Him and because He's worthy. Then when it's ready, we will have a song, a worship song really, that will invite the men who have prepared something to bring in testimony. And this song is a song by Kemper Crab called You Are My God. It was a special challenge of men to consecrate, to commit their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought it would be appropriate to introduce this section of testimony time that's a special challenge of men. Then as we prepare to serve communion elements, Brother Richie has prepared a special worship song that will be played as we pass the elements out. So, praise God for music because it helps us praise Him.